Last hour on a Wednesday, we may have limited our buffet sponsorship possibilities in that last 30 minutes.
For real.
Not all buffets are bad, but let's don't overthink them.
Yes.
They are there for a reason. Kids go crazy. Play in the arcade. Eat as much food as you like.
And save room for ice cream.
Yeah. And then Grandpa and Grandma, welcome to Omaha. We got this great place that serves pizza, chicken, and ice cream, and you can be healthy with some salad.
I love it.
Come on! As long as they're not from Iowa, they'll be like, whoa, that's pretty cool.
Right.
Yeah.
That's good.
How do you know you're in a small town in Iowa? They've got a pizza ranch. Parker Gabriel is coming up at the bottom of the hour. Eddie, not TikTok Eddie, emails us in the Equitable Bank inbox. He heard me talking earlier. So today, January 20, 2021, will be a day to remember in this country. It's the inauguration of the 46th president. So it automatically finds its way onto the list of history. But 7 years ago today, as I alluded to at the beginning of the show, is one of, if not the greatest day for college basketball in this state, shared by Nebraska and Creighton, when Creighton went to Philadelphia and went crazy and hit every shot they threw up and blew out number 4 Villanova. And shortly thereafter, about an hour after that game ended, second year of Tim Miles, Nebraska upsets number 17 Ohio State, and the students rush the floor at Pinnacle Bank Arena, and Nebraska had won a conference game under Tim Miles. I think they got to 9-8, and I think 1-5. So Eddie emails us. He said, first and foremost, I'm a J-sker. Bear with me. On that night, I was driving to Lincoln for the game and was listening to The Zone. So I had the Creighton game on the radio and couldn't believe it. And I sat in my car in my parking spot in Lincoln to listen to the majority of the game, missing the first half of the Nebraska game.
Wow.
After the Creighton game was in hand and I enjoyed the blowout of Villanova, I went into Pinnacle Bank Arena and got to enjoy the last half when Nebraska came back to beat Ohio State. That is from Eddie. Now, that creates quite the issue here, because the definition of the J-sker is football to blue basketball.
Yes. Oh, okay.
I don't think Eddie could call himself a J-sker. I think he may just call himself a basketball fan that likes good basketball.
Okay.
And as that night showed us, that was the best basketball on one day for blue and red at the same time. And I think if you're an Ethan Rogge fan, you're a McDermott fan, FS1 probably show highlights tonight when they're doing the Providence-Creighton game, which tips off at 6, as Creighton's going to try and rebound from the Butler game. John Niatawa put it well today. Last year was kind of the springboard for Creighton after their win against Providence to start a run that carried them through the rest of the regular season, and culminating with a share of the regular season title. Creighton has had spurts where they played exceptionally well, high-level basketball, where they look like what Creighton looks like when they are humming on both ends of the floor. But they have not yet put like weeks and weeks and weeks together, and we don't know what we're going to get in March in college basketball. I'm the more I dive into the schedule that was put out yesterday by the NCAA, I love it. The NCAA men's basketball tournament, and what Creighton is trying to do is build up. And Creighton is, 2, 3, 4, 5 in different brackets that I see right now. They've got to find those games that they have, and they're very limited this year in the Big East, to get quality win. You've got two of them that are on the horizon against Villanova. But this is the time where you start to kick things into gear, and you're not one of those teams I tiered yesterday or 2 days ago about this is the grind of the season, where you start to stack really good performances. And it would help to have Marcus Zagorowski back in the lineup so you can start to do that. I think tonight will be a really good game. I wonder how physical Providence will be. It still blows me away. I think David Duke for Providence has been there forever. But will Providence try and bully Creighton on their home floor? Again, if If Providence comes out and they're just lollygagging and they've been off for a little bit and they lost three in a row, and this game is huge for them having a pulse for the NCAA tournament, if they come out slow, bye-bye. But I do like Creighton tonight. The line is 10. I'll think about it. I'll think about that. That game's at 6, by the way, tonight. But now that the NCAA men's basketball tournament has put out their times, and, you know, last night it just kind of showed us that anything can happen in March. You may not have a Duke, an Indiana, a Kentucky, or a Carolina playing in the NCAA tournament. You got Baylor and Gonzaga are above everybody else. Michigan responds last night after losing at Minnesota. They blow out Maryland. They beat them by 24. All of a sudden, Purdue is playing really well. They've kind of flown under the radar, and they have won four in a row. Teams that are a little bit older this year look like they're the teams that are having success. But if you look at what the NCAA announced yesterday, and they gave you the dates that you need to know. So 55 of the 67 games will be right there in the city of Indianapolis. I think it is a tournament with, you know, a tighter schedule because there's not travel involved. You go to Indiana and you stay in Indiana. Now talk about a grind. I mean, if you're a team that has Final Four aspirations, like you're a Gonzaga and a Baylor, for example, you're going to want to pack a couple of suitcases.
Hell yeah.
Because you could be there for a while. I mean, there becomes the mental part of the grind of going to one spot, playing, you know, six basketball games to win a national title, but you're in Indianapolis essentially for a month. I mean, the experience here in Omaha with the NCHC hockey teams, they were in a pod for 3 weeks. Seemed to be okay, but I think the mental part would be kind of... But what the NCAA is doing, I think, is great because it's built for television and it's built for gambling. When we get to the Sweet 16 and they all get their own time slot, and I think we're gonna get day games on that second weekend. This embrace the gambling. I mean, this is gonna be a huge gambling tournament. It's going to happen. First of all, it's going to happen. We're full speed ahead that we're going to have an NCAA men's basketball tournament. And the possibilities with the way the schedule is set up, and it's shifted a little bit. So it's Friday to Monday are the best days. Instead of Thursday through Sunday, you just shift it. You go Friday through Monday are the best days of the tournament. They may have created a great model. Now, next year, we must and we will be back to sites. So you do have some travel involved, and you won't have this kind of a tighter schedule. But I wonder if the days will change. Because, you know, NCAA loves Monday nights. They put their college football championship game on it. They put their college basketball game on it. But the Elite Eight are going to be on weeknight TV. I love this. I think this is great. I think this is built for TV. It is built for gambling. And the best thing they did is taking the Sweet 16 and all of those games get their own time slot. So we're going to get day games. We're going to get day and night games for the Sweet 16. And none of them will overlap with each other. You don't have to worry about the Thursday night of the second weekend where a game starts at 6:30. And there's the next game starting at 7, so they start you on this game, and then they shift you to the other game. It's great. Good on the NCAA men's basketball arm of that organization to put together a schedule like this. They know they have to have the tournament. They're putting it all in Indianapolis. The venues are pretty good. You know, a couple of those venues already are set up where you don't have fans, and you can have social distance. So they're used to that, and it looks okay. You know, you've seen Pacers games. That looks okay, their setup. Indiana and Purdue, the way they have set up for, you know, no fans where they can kind of spread out, it looks okay. I'm excited. I think this is going to be great for television. We'll have the same excitement, and they should just gamble the heck out of this tournament. Now, leading up to it is the choppy part. Because I'm on a day-to-day thing, George, where love college basketball, love being involved in college basketball, but because of the choppy nature of this season where games are being postponed or canceled and moved around and they start at weird times, it's been tough to follow. Unless you check in on the greats like Baylor and Gonzaga or your own team. Because you don't know when they're playing. Like, for example, tonight, Creighton went from playing at 8 o'clock to 6 o'clock. This weekend, they go from playing, 2:30 against UConn to now, is it 11 a.m.? And then your team disappears for a while. Like, if you're Nebraska, Nebraska's off the radar. You know, Omaha, Omaha had to miss two games because of COVID. And then they're on a bye weekend this weekend, so they're gone for a while. You know, Villanova, for example. Villanova went away for 27 days before they played last night, which was, that's a culture win last night, where you're away that long. It's kind of choppy coming back where you came back, and then you had a pause before you came back again, and you're playing a Seton Hall team. You got to grind through that. That's been tough this year to follow because you don't know when teams are playing. The schedule changes. You don't know what time. You don't know what network they're on. Just get us to March. Give me the 68 best teams, and let's go all in one site where, fingers crossed, we'll be able to pull off every single game. And I'm okay sitting in front of the television, consuming it all, and I think gambling on the tournament this year will be enormous. You've got all Sweet 16 games are standalone games. Won that game, I'm on to the next. Oh, lost that game, I'm on to the next. I'm putting together the schedule. I think this is going to be great. And I wonder if the NCAA will look at, if they get good feedback, if they look at either expanding the days they play on instead of, you got the first four that'll play Tuesday, Wednesday. This year, they're all going to be played on the same day. But you had two on Tuesday, two on Wednesday, and then the big tournament kicks off on Thursday. So you get Thursday, Friday, and then you get all day, all day for 4 days. I wonder if they try and expand that and maybe bounce into that Monday. Maybe even to that Tuesday. Heck, why not take the whole March Madness concept and make it from the middle of March to the Final Four weekend, play basketball every single day. That's my wish, my hope. I know it might be unrealistic, but you have something that is cherished and is consumed with eyeballs and with money. Why not? It's the biggest thing that the NCAA does. It's the most coveted thing that they do. And, of course, it is the biggest thing when it comes to money. All right, quick break. We'll come back. Andrew, stay right there. 1:13, Parker Gabriel coming up at the bottom of the hour. George has got his NBA minute as well. Will Zach LaVine be mentioned?
Playing well
for the Bulls.
That's a tough one.
Playing well. He's got, it seems like every night I check the box score, he's got at least 30.
But is he just playing well because he's on a bad team?
Fair question. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Gary Sharp Show on 1620 The Zone. I can't remember what was said.